Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Best part about this one, there's a dog here.
There is.
There's a dog right here. His name's Gromit. This is already the best interview we've ever done.
If you could only watch 3 wrestling matches, what would they be and why? This is what I'm asking some of wrestling's best. In the ring, outside the ring, behind the scenes, or behind a microphone. I'm Tom Campbell. Thank you for joining me once again on Cultaholic Island for another episode of Desert Island Grabs. Actual Joe Hendry, how
it is
are
good
you,
to
sir?
See, man, and Gromit is away.
Come here, buddy.
I think anybody that follows you on Twitter will know what the crack is, and I have to ask the question that is burning in people's minds right now, and that is, why were you buying dog biscuits with Lanny Poffo last Saturday night?
I thought that tweet would get more traction. You know what I'm saying?
I'm really upset that it didn't get as much traction.
I'm like, what the hell, man? Like, so this is genuinely what happened, right? So we're on the way to the show. We're in New Orleans, and decided to pull over. It's I'm trying to think of everyone. So it's me, Todd. We got Jay Lethal, Gresham, Haskins, and Lanny Poffo, right?
Okay.
And so we decide that we're going to pull over, get food for the day, get supplies, get everything we need, water, protein, but you know the deal.
Right? Yeah.
And then Lanny Poffo was just holding a box of dog biscuits as a thing, like, check this out. And I said, Lanny, do you mind if I just take a photo of what's going on right now? And there we were. So, you know, that it just felt like a moment I had to document. Because it was one of those things, if I say it in a podcast, no one believes it.
No. It just, but the picture speaks for itself.
And I said, look, I think I win Twitter today. And I didn't win Twitter that day.
I am just upset that there would have been a video of a cat falling off a piano that got more likes and retweets than that. And that's wrong.
There you go. Damn cats again.
Is he a good guy though, Lanny?
Yeah.
Comes across as the best.
Do you know what? The locker room as a whole, it's an awesome place to be. It really is. It's hard not to give cheesy answers, but it's like, it's what I thought the dream of being a wrestler would be. You know, you're seeing new places, new cultures, you're learning every day, you're up in your game. It's competitive, but it's that friendly competition, you know what I mean? It's like, all right, okay, well, you know, I guess we've got to, you know, go up there and tear it down with a segment or match or whatever. You know, it's really pushing me as a professional and as an athlete. And it was my gut decision, and you know, it's paid off.
Sometimes you listen to your gut.
Always listen to your gut. It knows.
Want to get more into your Ring of Honor time very, very soon. But you're here because we're sending you on a desert island, sadly without Lanny Poffo or any dog biscuits. Shocking behaviour. And while you're there, though, we're going to burn on to a DVD for you. 3 matches that you are happy to watch again and again and again. But you choose the matches that go there. So what will be your first match for your DVD, Joe?
Okay, I think what I'm going to do is it's so hard to give like, oh, well, here's my favourite matches, because I know the second that I walk out of here, you know, I'm going to go, oh, damn it, that I'm going to be annoyed at myself. Now, I'm going to tell you some of my favorite workers. So I think what I'll do is probably start off with some. So for me, I think I'm going to kick it off with, This is really hard. This is really tough, man. Three matches because there's a few I'm toying with, and I'll tell you why. I want to mention Ric Flair. I have to mention Ric Flair. And the reason is because I think the match that captivated me emotionally the most was Ric Flair versus Shawn Michaels for, you know, when it was Ric Flair's career on the line. I remember watching that. I think it was Mania 24, not knowing what the outcome was going to be. And that was, you know, just being a teenager at the time. I was literally on the edge of my seat. I remember that moment, you know. So that holds a special place in my heart. However, a match Sorry, carry on.
I'd like to talk more about the your feelings around Shawn Michaels and Ric Flair. But...
So, and... Also, I wanted to. One thing that I tell my trainees to watch is Ric Flair versus Brock Lesnar from Raw 2002.
Ooh, okay.
The reason is, now I'm not saying that, you know, this is the best match of all time, but I really like my trainees to watch it because it's like it's just two completely different styles, and it's like, how can a veteran like Ric Flair, who at the time is, you know, and is, you know, I think. Is it true that Ric Flair doesn't even know how old Ric Flair is?
I believe that. I think the only way to find out is to cut him in half and count the rings.
I think that is the case, but I don't know exactly how old he was. But in there, it's like you take a look at that and you think, well, Brock Lesnar's just going to gobble this guy up, you know? But Ric Flair holds his own, and he shows there's a way. Yes, he loses, but he loses with class, you know what I mean? So it's like, that's something I really like my trainees to watch. Something I'm going to use like a modern one, and this is, you know, because I do feel at Ring of Honor we have one of the most underrated, probably, I think we've got the most underrated roster right now. But we saw... Jay Lethal go against Jonathan Gresham. They're tag partners, but they had an unbelievable technical wrestling match. You know, so obviously, you know, there's hundreds of classic Ring of Honor matches to choose from. But for me, that match there, I think, you know, it was the atmosphere of seeing it live as well. But just like the technical skill that was on display, that's my type of wrestling. So go check out Jay Lethal versus Jonathan Gresham. If I could pick, you know, one from Ring of Honor that this happened recently, that would be the one to go and check out.
Okay, so are you sticking with those as your three?
I was just kind of just blabbing on. You know what? I'm going to go for, you know, again, something else that I really like to watch is Rock versus Hogan from Mania 18.
Oh, now that's a definitive, because it's never going to be like the technical standout, but it's a moment. And I think a lot of people get lost in either wrestling being wrestling or wrestling being moments. And sometimes wrestling is just a moment.
Yeah.
And just it encapsulated by the bit where they're just facing each other and the crowd are just swapping over Rocky and Hogan. Rocky, oh, it was massive.
At the same time, though, there's old stuff that is, you know, that people just, for whatever reason, don't watch quite as much or speak about. Like, there's a few, the really old World of Sport guys that I think have, like, some unbelievable styles of wrestling. There's a guy called Terry Rudge.
Okay.
If you go look up his stuff on YouTube, it's really different, and I take a lot of influence from him. Go check it out if you like the kind of old, like, I mean, do you remember the Wrestling Channel?
Yes, yeah, I remember that. I remember they played a lot of World of Sport on there,
yeah. Right?
And among lots of other stuff. I seem to remember Mo Chantra hosting, like, a World of Sport collection,
yeah,
on there.
There's a wrestler called Terry Rudge that I think is phenomenal, but you'd be surprised how many big name wrestlers actually, you know, went through the British scene back in the, it would have been the 80s, right?
Something like that. Yeah, well, it was sort of late 70s,
yeah.
A bit more in the early 80s, but the predominantly sort of mid to late 70s, obviously you had Dynamite Kid there for a spell as well. And it's a funny, you hear Les Kellett's name said a lot. Mm-hmm. Nigel McGuinness keeps the spirit of Les Kellett alive whenever anybody torpedoes off the ropes. It's always the Les Kellett. My favourite story from that was when Nigel McGuinness called his lariat, we springboarded off the ropes, the Les Kellett lariat.
Mm-hmm.
But in Ring of Honor, they misheard him, so they called it the Les Kellett lariat.
Hey,
and it turns out, no, not Les Kellett, it's Les Kellett. It's an homage to Kellett.
There
as it
go.
Happens. So we've thrown quite a few there,
yeah.
which is quite exciting to pick apart. So the Mike, let's go back to the Michaels Flair one, which is the first one that came straight off the top of my mind. Tell us where young Joe Hendry was when that match was going down.
I think I was 15, I remember being at high school. I remember watching it. And the reason I bring it up is because, look, you know, if you look back, all signs indicate that that was going to be Flair's retirement, but I didn't want it to be, you know? And I remember at the time literally being on the edge of my seat. So that's why it stands out.
Yeah, yeah. It was one. Were you watching it with people? Were you watching
it? Nope, because I didn't know anyone that liked wrestling.
Oh, mate! Oh, that's, yeah. That sucks. But at the same time, it's sometimes
I had,
actually, like that.
I had one friend, but we weren't like super great friends. We were decent friends, but I actually haven't seen him, and it was his mum that took me to a few events like way back in the day, and So it was my friend Kyle, and he followed wrestling, like, you know, he was tape trading, you know, that sort of thing, like way back then. And his mum would take him to, you know, whatever events were going on. He went to everything. And, you know, part of me thinks, you know, I'm wondering, are they aware of what I'm doing right now? You know, I'd love to. His mum was called Margaret, and she took me to my first live event, and, you know, really lovely person. And I think it'd be pretty cool to go to go and say hi. You know, it's just when I think back then, just going to see shows as like a kid, you know, and now I think where I am. When you're in these situations, you sometimes have to take stock and look back and go look at everything that's happened, because it's a gradual process. It's day to day. It's not kind of go, oh God, you know, one second I'm, you know, a kid who's watching wrestling on TV who would give anything to have a match, and now, you know, I'm doing what I'm doing in Ring of Honor. It's a crazy thing. And you know, it'd be good to go back and say hello to them, actually.
When you talk about going back, can you remember somebody when you first went to watch wrestling who jumped out at you and kind of lit a light under you?
I was a big fan of... Now, the thing is, I guess you'll get a lot of people talking about, you know, kind of mainstream companies and stuff like that. But, like, for me, the Wrestling Channel was where it was at for me. I loved the Wrestling Channel. And I, you know, to kind of somewhat tie this in with where I'm working now, I don't know if you remember I think it was International Showdown.
Yes, this was, I remember it had like, I'm sure, was it Mick Foley there?
Yeah, Mick Foley, Samoa Joe, CM Punk.
Raven.
I think Raven was there. Yeah, had AJ Styles.
That felt like a big thing, know, yeah.
Yeah, it was huge. Like, I liked a lot of that stuff. I really liked FWA, and I believe they worked for Ring of Honor, right? They put on shows together.
There was stuff with them. I seem to remember FWA was I seem to remember them all over YouTube at one point. They made a bit of a resurgence. And there was, I remember seeing stuff with Dave Mastiff in, and there was a whole bit that stays mind when they were, when it was Martin Stone and Dave Mastiff, and they were kind of this collective of people who had this big contract in America and all this, and they were just running roughshod over FWA. And I always remember this, Robbie Brookside came down, he was working as an older sort of veteran at that point, and he came down like to make the save, and they got on the mic and said, yeah, good luck, Robbie, you get in here, we're going to destroy you, and you know it. You're nothing now, Robbie, there's no point you coming here. And Robbie stops and walks back. And I remember that taking me completely to one side. Like, I've never seen that before. Somebody come out to do the save and actually go, actually, they're right, I haven't got it in me, and turn away. I think eventually he got in there and took it to them. But in that moment, I was like, wow, that's new storytelling.
Yeah, I want to apologize to anyone watching this. I'm actually holding my dog. I think he's having a little nap.
Oh, he's having a little sleep now.
I can put it down. It's a shame we don't have a little platform from here. So you can, you know.
Oh, we can have your favorite matches.
Yeah, I know. But yeah, no, mention Robbie Brookside there, someone who I owe a lot to, really. He taught me a lot, you know, when I was starting out, he was one of the key people in my training. So he has really helped me kind of refine my style, and which is something I'm getting to showcase now, which is super cool. So
you talk about the Brock Lesnar Ric Flair match from 2002, and something you showed to your trainees. You, for those who don't know, the Joe Hendry Academy is now a thing.
Yes, it's basically, I haven't even picked a name for it yet. Let me just be clear. Well, this is what's happened. So basically, we wanted to do a test just to see, you know, is this something that's viable? Is this, you know? So what we did is we just put out a call and said, listen, we got 20 spots. Here's the course. It's £100 for an 8-week course in Edinburgh. We got the space. This is what we're doing. Da da da. So we got 20 people signed up, And we're just like, wow, well, there we go. There's obviously a demand for this, and it's been so rewarding. Like, we the other day when we had our... A lot of schools really spend a lot of time on the in-ring stuff, which is what they should do, but I think sometimes people forget about the promo side of things and the importance of that. So we actually, like, hired out a little theatre for our students to do the promos in, which was really cool. So we had our promo class in a mini theatre, which was great because it gives them a gap between, you know, the training school to the live shows. It's still a little bit uncomfortable for them, gets them used to that. And wrestling for me is about being comfortable in uncomfortable situations. It's going, you know, like, for example, you're terrified when you have your first match, then having a match isn't so scary anymore. Then you're terrified when you work for your first big company and da-da-da. And then, you know, it gets to the point where I've been fortunate enough in that, like, I actually... My first singles match outside the training school was actually in a WWE ring.
Wow.
That was at a tryout, but it was still, there was no audience there. So it was just in front of, like, you know, CM Punk and Big Show and Fit Finlay.
Oh, is that
and,
all?
Yeah, so no pressure at all.
No, none at all. Yeah,
but that was almost a ridiculous amount of pressure. It made everything else seem not so bad, you know? And then, obviously, like, I got to wrestle Kurt Angle in the main event of a pay-per-view, and, you know, how much bigger than that does it get? And obviously, like, you know, there are 1,000 people there, so you can kind of go up in terms of audience numbers, but... It's. I was lucky to get a few of those experiences early on, but I try to say to my trainees, you know, put yourself in these uncomfortable situations, get to get over your nerves and stuff like that.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
You talked about headline with Kurt Angle.
Yeah.
And I saw that you, this is something you wanted to talk about on your YouTube channel. I don't know whether you did, but I wanted to bring it up. Sort of like the mental process of a match like that, putting together a match like that with Kurt Angle. Like, talk us through, like, when you found out you were going to be facing Kurt Angle.
Well, it's a crazy story. So if people haven't heard it, basically what happened was in 2015, someone goes, "Who's your dream opponent?" And I just go, "Kurt Angle." And you know when you type in someone's name, it gives you the option to tag it. So I'm like, yeah, why not? Boom, do that. And then I get a DM from Kurt Angle. And he says, "I know who you are. You're not ready yet. But if you keep working hard, maybe one day I'll give you the match." Right? And I'm like, oh my God.
Wow.
So we kind of keep in touch a little bit. And then obviously, they're basically, my understanding of it was, it kind of, you know, there's a few key individuals here with myself. There's the guys at What Culture, Steve Linsky was involved, James Dixon, the management at What Culture. They're all involved. But what it came down to was, I think they looked to book Kurt Angle and it fell through for whatever reason. And then I says, let me see if I can reach out here. So then I said, Kurt, you know, you said, you know, if I've been working hard and, you know, you do the match, you know, well, I might have a company that can make this happen. And then it was a case of like, all right, here's what we need to make it happen. bit of back and forth from agents, and then there I was, you know. So it was a bit of a bold one from me, but it paid dividends in that situation. And that match changed my career completely. Before that, I was working like two jobs and being a wrestler, and I just wasn't giving it as much as it needed. And it was just like, you know, what other sign do you need that it's time to go full time? You know, so then I made the decision to go full time, and it really paid dividends. So Kurt is just a true professional. He's such a giving person. Like if you watch that match, you could have heard an argument that it could have been, you know, 90% Kurt, 10% Joe Hendry, but he, let's just say, goes out of his way to help build stars and give back to the industry. He is someone I look up to and always will look up to. He's someone who has been instrumental with advice at the right times as well. And he is, I've only really met Kurt a handful of times in person, but he's done so much for me. It feels like, you know, he's a mentor to me, you know.
It's a ridiculously exciting time for Ring of Honor.
Yeah.
For wrestling in general, because there is suddenly now so much going on. And obviously, there's news that even more stuff is coming this way, what with New Japan announcing stuff for the States as well. But more importantly for you, you're part of something huge in Ring of Honor. Who is there in Ring of Honor that maybe you're not facing on the Honor United mm-hmm. Tour, but that you would like to face, that you'd like to get in there with and work with?
There's so many. There are so many. I mean, if you look at... I mean, here's the thing. When you start talking about the roster, you always miss somebody out, don't you? And you're like, ah, damn it, you know? But the talent that we have right now, it's unbelievable. I genuinely think we've got the most underrated roster in wrestling. And, you know, there's a lot of kind of politics going on with the Wednesday Night Wars and stuff like that. And I think that people are going to... I think the quality of Ring of Honor's wrestling is going to shine through here. Again, like I was saying, Jay Lethal versus Jonathan Gresham is just a technical masterpiece. Those two, I think, are at the top of the list for me for people I want to wrestle. I've wrestled them in a tag team match. It was myself and Dalton versus them, which was awesome. You know, that was just such a great experience. The live crowd were just loving it. It was awesome. So that was great. Do you know what? I'm just going to say it. My ideal opponent is Bully.
There you go.
It is 100%. If you say to me right now, well, I mean, look, at the end, you got to say Roosh, don't you? Because he's the world champion. Yeah, that's who you want to work with.
Bully Ray, I get.
But Bully Ray is, to me, If you sat me down in a room and says, all right, you pick who are you going to work with, that's going to be my choice every day of the week, because he knows what he's doing. It's as simple as that. His understanding of wrestling, his physicality, if that's something you can get your teeth stuck into. You know, if you look at, for example, look at what happened to Flip Gordon's career after he worked with Bully. You know what I mean? I want that. And I think that's something I could get my teeth stuck into. That's if you're smart and you're offered the choice, that's the answer that anyone should give, in my opinion. But I don't want to miss anybody out, because on the same token, you're going to learn so much. You're going to push yourself as an athlete to wrestle somebody like Jay Lethal or Jonathan Gresham. Again, look at Lifeblood as well. You've got, obviously, look at the star power that we've got in Villain Enterprises. There's, again, this is the thing, you start missing people out, don't you? Even like people that are coming through the ranks. There's a guy, Josh Woods, who's just this unbelievable amateur wrestler who, because of, like, I'm kind of, you know, influenced by that style as well. There's cool stuff that me and him can do if we face each other. It just feels like the possibilities are endless right now, and it's just like a fresh perspective on wrestling. And like I say, I've been a British wrestler, but now I'm crossing the pond every, you know, multiple times every month. And it's the jet lag is, it gives you, as a competitor, you need, the great thing is you go in the day before, so you get a chance to kind of adjust and acclimatize yourself. But, you know, this is the thing, one thing I've learned is through traveling, you actually need to increase your cardio, because the jet lag is going to have an impact on that. So now you need to push yourself even more. So I've been doing all my amateur wrestling drills and all that stuff. But then, obviously, there's Dalton Castle. there's a reason that me and him are working together right now, because the battle is who's the most entertaining in Ring of Honor. There's other questions on the Ring of Honor roster that are being answered, and they're facing each other. But right now, who's the most entertaining in Ring of Honor? Who's the entertainer? And that's a fun confrontation, and we need to see where this goes. But if management can make the choice, Bully's the answer.
Bully's a great example of somebody who's completely done a 180 on what brought him in. Like you watch him in the 80s in ECW as sort of like the stuttering member of the Dudleys, and suddenly now he's almost like this, and I mean this with love, he's like a Junkyard Dusty Rhodes, in the sense that he's just like this gritty character with shades of the American Dream in there as well, not just in presence but in terms of stature and in terms of respectability. And I genuinely can see the appeal of you wanting to mix it up with,
I mean, that's
Bully Ray.
You got to have a pair of balls to wrestle somebody like that. You know what I mean? It's like, you look at the physical presence that he brings. When there's a reason he has the reputation he does, when he walks in the room, you know someone. You know, if he wasn't a wrestler, there's certain people that when they walk past, you're like, they're somebody. Mm. And the type of people that carry that presence are few and far between, but he's got that presence. And there are other people in Ring of Honor who have that presence. But look, when you go into a new company, you got to pick on the biggest bully in the yard. And, you know, if you're giving me the choice, that's it.
He's coming for you, Bully. He's coming for you. So we picked some matches to take onto the desert island. The other things that you need to take are a movie, so mm-hmm. favorite movie of all time, an album.
Jesus,
I know, right?
Tough,
an album and a luxury item that you can have with you. So let's start with a movie, like a movie that you simply could watch over and over and over again.
Okay, so my favorite movie is Pulp Fiction, all right? But then again, that's a really tough question, because just because something's my favorite doesn't mean it's the one that I'll watch the most. You know what I mean?
Yeah, like, exactly. Yeah, that's the catch.
That's
22.
The tough one.
It's not just instantly going, oh, what's the best?
Like, for example, film. I know basketball sucks, right? But I can watch that more than any other movie.
Well,
it's awesome. You know what I mean? It sucks, but it's awesome. I love basketball. I think that's just it. Just to be honest, it really relieves the stress. So I love basketball. You know what? But the thing is, I think The Exorcist is the greatest movie of all time.
Yeah.
So my favorite's Pulp Fiction. The Exorcist is the greatest movie of all time. But basketball is the one that I'd probably take along with me. Because, you know, but then again, I'm one of these guys that I overthink everything. Now I'm thinking like, so when you're on the desert island, you can watch this one thing, you're going to drive yourself insane.
But you've got three other wrestling matches as well.
That's true. Okay.
And beautiful scenery all around you.
That's true. Fair enough. But those are the movies I'll go with.
Okay. How about an album?
An album, that's really tough.
Yeah.
If I had to pick one, really tough.
Do you know it's been really popular? Pink Floyd.
Really?
Quite a few people have shouted up Pink Floyd.
Ah, well, good for them. I'm not going to shout
Okay.
it. No, you know what? Pink Floyd are talented. It just ain't my thing, right? But I'm going to go for Weezer, the Blue Album. Okay? That's up there. Rumors by Fleetwood Mac would be up there. But then I'm telling you, man, honestly, see that kind of, now hear me out on this.
Yeah,
right?
Okay.
Hear me out on this.
Ears wide open.
I tell you what, new metal was a hell of a time. It was a hell of a time, man.
New metal was a hell of a drug.
Infest by Papa Roach is a belter.
Wow.
It is. Like, right. The thing is, it's like, it might not be like the coolest album or whatever. Go listen to that start to finish. It's a beast. I'll listen to that in the gym quite often and just power through the whole thing. And because they've got like this hidden track at the end, which is like kind of reggae and chilled out. So it's like, you know, once you've done your workout and all that. But not that I get my workout done in the 37 minutes that the album is, or however long it is. But like Hybrid Theory by Linkin Park's badass as well. A lot of badass music then. But Rumors by Fleetwood Mac is awesome. Weezer Blue is unbelievable. Marshall Mathers LP is awesome. However, I haven't heard it in a while. And now that the words have came out of my mouth, I'm thinking, I'm going to go ahead and say that's probably not aged that well. You know? Some of the songs on there, you know, might have to
I think he's taken a lot of those things back as well.
I think there's some things in that album you probably can't take back. You know, but so we might have to leave that. I'll go with Weezer and Blue.
All right. And a luxury item, something that you could take with you that make you, whether it makes you feel better, whether it's just like a creature comfort of yours.
Do you know what it is? It's, can I take him?
You can take Grommet.
Can I take Grommet?
You're going to desert island, buddy. Yeah, you do.
Good boy. Give me a pop.
How do you find being away? Obviously, you know, a couple of days a month without him. Is he all right? Are you all right? More importantly,
it's tough. It's tough. You do miss him. He's my wee best pal. You know, he's just I just didn't quite realize the impact that owning a dog will have on your life. I actually think it's made me a better person. You know, I think it really it makes you take account of your own life in so many different ways. You know what I mean? There's that phrase, it's like, be the person your dog already thinks you are. I think that's a really powerful phrase. And I think that, you know, life's all a journey, and there's, you know, you have different ups and downs, but like right now, you know, I can kind of look at myself in the mirror and, you know, be proud of who I am and what I've done. And I think that he's kind of helped me to get there. I think having a dog helps you to be less selfish, because my schedule revolves around him and not me. You know what I mean? So it's like for example, he's just had an operation, so he needs to be looked after 24/7 at the moment. So, you know, if for whatever reason, you know, there was a, like, say that there's media or whatever, I might have had to do it over the phone rather than come down. But I've been thankful enough to the media that I'm doing today that allowed me to bring him along. When I say allow, I just kind of showed up.
What are we going to do? Send you away?
I know. Sorry.
literally, Jack in our office is allergic to dogs. And here he is.
That's why I brought him.
You're a man after my own heart, sir.
Yeah.
give us a shout up for the Honor United Tour once more. So where can people come and see you?
Okay, so basically, this Friday, Saturday and Sunday, you're going to see some of the best wrestling in the world. You're going to see, for what's awesome as well, someone I haven't mentioned, Mark Haskins as well. He's going to be on the tour. He's, you know, based in the London area, so that's going to be huge for people in that area. It's going to be huge for him. I really look up to Mark in a lot of ways. He's kind of like my road dad a little bit, you know. Like, we room together quite a lot, and I tend to be quite sort of, I overthink everything, which really works in my favor a lot of the time, but not always. Whereas Mark is really kind of, he's pretty relaxed, he's composed, so it's good to balance out those two personalities. It's like a sitcom, you know. But as a friend and a colleague, I'm really looking forward to seeing the, you know, what I'm sure is going to be a kind of roaring reception when he comes out. So that's going to be awesome. Also, it's great to return to York Hall. That's where I wrestled Jonathan Gresham before I was signed, and I really feel that's the match that kind of pushed it over the edge for me, you know. So it'll be cool to return there. But like I say, I've got this big entrance for my World Television Championship title match with Shane Taylor as well, which is huge for me. This is a title I've challenged for before, in I believe 2018, and now this would really be coming full circle from watching the, you know, the other two Brits on the tour winning the title in 2016. This has given me my chance to etch my name in history, you know. And in Ring of Honor, is a company that pushes you to, you know, when you're talking about, you know, what matches would you take on Desert Island and stuff like that, it's the type of company that pushes you to try and have those matches. And I just feel in my gut that this atmosphere on this tour is going to be electric. So that's what we're doing the first night. On the second night in Newport, it's myself versus Matt Taven. Like I say, the rules of Ring of Honor. If my confidence in my abilities pays off and I am who I say I am, I'll be walking into that next event in Newport defending the championship against Matt Taven, and then Silas Young the night after that. So these are all big matches for me. This, I know the company's putting me in this spot for a reason. It's time for me to deliver and be who I say I am, you know. So this is a huge opportunity for me, but also for Mark and anyone who's a fan of wrestling and the British scene. And this is just going to be, make sure you come down. This is just, it's, We're going to push the boat out. You'd be surprised if you've never been to Ring of Honor as well. The production value as well. The show is just, it's, there's a real history to it. You know, when you see the barriers for the first time, because you know what it's like. You've been seeing it on whether it be the Wrestling Channel or wherever you've seen it from, like 2000. I remember I've been watching Ring of Honor from 2003. You know, I remember seeing that first triple threat for the championship. I believe it was
Loki.
Yeah, Christopher Daniels.
Christopher Daniels.
And was it
Eli Skipper?
No.
It wasn't Eddie Guerrero, was it? I'd feel really
No, it wasn't the... I think you're getting confused with that there was a triple threat. It wasn't in Ring of Honor Or did Eddie Guerrero wrestle for Ring of Honor?
He did. He definitely did. Right. He definitely did at least a match for Ring of Honor.
But I mean, I'm going way back here to Wrestling Channel days. But I remember, you know, if you look at the prestigious names that have gone, you know, pun intended, that have gone through the company, it's the who's who. Mm. You know, I mean, if you look at the other companies, right? Look at their top talent. Where have they come from? You know, this company breeds success, and it is literally an honor to be there. You know, it's a cheesy answer, but that's the truth. And I think that we have the most underrated wrestling roster in the world. And the good news about that is that, like I said, there's a lot of buzz in the wrestling industry, but everyone on our roster is hungrier than ever to prove that we are who we say we are, that Ring of Honor. I mean, again, if you look at Ring of Honor's contributions to wrestling, again, look at the impact they've had on all the companies around them. I feel like we've really been a constant in terms of quality, and I feel like that's what we're going to deliver on the tour as well. Look at the names as well. It's absolutely stacked. It's going to be an awesome time. So we're doing London on Friday, Newport on Saturday, Bolton on Sunday. So make sure you get along to at least one of those, and I'm going to be pushing Haslin Management to get another Scottish date, because I remember we did that.
Yeah, I was going to say. Yeah,
I know.
Big Scottish homecoming still to happen.
I know. I'll be pushing for it.
That should definitely be a thing. Well, just like for all of us, it's like, as long as you know that everybody watching this, everybody around the country has just... I feel like I've been rooting for you for years.
Oh, thank you.
And it's one of them where it's just like, I've watched you go from there and there and there. So when it flashed up, like, Joe Hendry's joined Ring of Honor, it's like, well, of course he has.
Thank you, man.
You know, I mean that in the best possible way.
It was a big... Of course, yeah. It was a huge thing for me. It was a big day for me. Like I say, in 2016, I flew myself over to their tryout, you know, over in Baltimore, because I just... My gut told me that's where I needed to go. And like I say, I've been fortunate enough in that I had a few options, but this is what my gut told me was the right thing to do. And that decision has paid off, because the thing that I think really works about Ring of Honor is that there's a direction there, but the talent are... There's an understanding that if the talent are given the opportunity to take the ball, they will run with it. You know, if the talent are given the opportunity to express themselves and do what they do, I really appreciate that. The process of my entrance videos is the exact same. They that's one of the reasons they hired me, and they don't want to change that. And it's difficult because, you know, obviously it's a predominantly American audience, and the humor of the entrances is predominantly British humor. But you make slight adjustments. Like, so for example, if you see my new entrance music in Ring of Honor, I'd made that very much with the American audience in mind as well. But there is part of me that's like, you know what? There are people in America who appreciate British humor, you know, and maybe I just steered into that niche. But this is the thing. We're given such a great opportunity to be creative and try new things, and it doesn't feel like you're walking on eggshells. You know what I mean? It's like you can make suggestions and try new things and do things. And I think when you give wrestlers that opportunity, good things happen.
Well, let's have good things happen to you. Then I know they won't be running. Go smash it.
Congrats to yourself as well. It was, it was great to see you getting the job here and doing
it. Oh,
well.
Bless you.
You know, you do a great job. You do a great job on the new stuff.
Stop it.
But no, well done to you too.
Thank you to you. Well done to everybody. And well done to you. You've
well
been
done
brilliant.
To Gromit.
Love you, Gromit.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
for all the wrestling headlines in just 10 minutes. Search Cultaholic Wrestling News on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts from.